Okay, so the band's latest album, The Crystal World, is going to be released in November, I think, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, November 7th, 29th?
27th.
Okay. And then can you tell us a little bit more about the concept and ideas behind this release?
Well, we had been recording for a while, and I think most of the songs are done, and I had been thinking about that book in the past. The title comes from this book by J.G. Ballard, and it was more, I guess, not very direct. It was more like as a metaphor, something that's like slow and creeping and kind of totally apocalyptic. It's going to end, but it takes a lot of time. And in the past, we had kind of pulled from other books like The Concrete Island and some of his shorter, more science fiction pieces. But The Crystal World started to fit with some of the different textures that we were pulling out of our gear and some of the content.
And how about, I mean, since you guys are only three and you use all the samples and stuff, how hard is it to craft the songs, and how long it takes you guys to come up with a, you know, like a long song like you guys do?
I guess it's always different. I think when we came in with The Crystal World, we kind of took our time with it, and we just focused on doing a lot of layering, and we performed these songs roughly in live before we recorded The Crystal World. Then when we recorded it, we brought in Steven, and everything just sounded a lot different than what we previously had worked on. So I guess in the studio, everything kind of changed drastically, and now that we're playing these songs live, they're changing even more, I feel, because
yeah.
We've had some time to kind of, like, you know, experiment with the structure and things like that. What do you guys think?
I agree.
And I mean, like you guys are mentioning that, yeah, the you're performing it live and now they're changing. How hard is it to, you know, get all these elements right in and just, you know, to not make it sound like you guys are just playing a bunch of samples and just, you know, hanging out?
Well, we don't really use, I mean, we're actually playing most everything. I think Steven's the only one who's using some pre-recorded material of himself, and the rest of it we're layering through different delays and loops, and so it changes. We improvise a lot, especially live. It's kind of like feeling it out. If one part gets more intense and we start building it up, or something surprising happens, you know, it.
But the skeleton of the song is there, you know, like, but it might change a little bit here and there, but it's pretty much try to do it
as
it is on the record.
So you guys are not just going up and just, you know, doing a bunch of random stuff and saying that's the song?
No, not at all. We practice.
And how do you feel that the people are reacting to this album since you've been promoting it since a couple of months ago to the press?
So far, I mean, I feel pretty good. We've been pretty careful not to let anyone put a download on their site so far. I think it's kind of mysterious to a lot of people that are reading about it, and they still haven't heard anything from the record, which I think is... good, because as a musician, I'd prefer that people experience this record as a physical object, and I'd like to, you know, we decided that we're not going to have the Crystal World Disc 2 Extinction we're not going to sell it as a digital download, we're not going to offer it on the record because we don't want to split up. But I feel like people have been responding really positively. I wasn't kind of sure because... you know, it's quite different than anything else that we've done, but I think I'm really proud of it. So, I mean, that's all that really matters.
And in general, is the response from the press being what you guys expected, or you had a couple of people that just quite didn't get it?
No, I think I've been really pleased. Like Andre, I didn't know because I felt this record. I mean, we have a new member in the group, and I think we went for some different tones, different structures, and we're just trying to push ourselves. And I think I feel that so far, people have been pretty gracious about where we kind of turn. And it's kind of nice to feel that the people that have been with us are still with us, and maybe some new people have joined in.
And how do you feel that people are respond live to this kind of genre, since it's not, you know, too intense for some, it's a little bit dull for other people? What's your thought on that?
I mean, like, because it's not, like, straight. It's not, like, metal or it's
yeah,
not,
exactly.
Like...
Yeah, exactly. It's not something typical.
No, I see. All right. Well, I think that, you know, like, there seem to be, like, just facets of people that kind of get what we're doing. And I think that, in general, that there are more people that are open-minded and in all these different scenes. That are kind of like finding a connection between like noise and drone and heavy metal and all these different influences that we put together. So I think that these kind of subgenres, these kind of, you know, small groups in those subgenres kind of gravitate towards us. Mm-hmm. Or people just like dark stuff, I think, kind of gravitate towards what we're doing. And so for me, I've always felt pretty pleased when the response has been positive.
And how does, like, for example, for you guys, how did it happen that you wanted to create something like this, like I said, not too traditional?
Well, I think we're all really into metal, but for me, for instance, I get really bored with metal that doesn't push any sort of boundaries. Unless it's like Obituary or AC/DC, and I don't really want them to push any boundaries. But as for me as a musician, you know, I get, you know, I'm into metal, I'm into lots of stuff. I don't know. It's just what comes out. That's intuitive.
I think like when I was like a kid and I got into like death metal or thrash or whatever, it was like you got excited because the other band was like they were faster, they were more brutal, they pushed some envelope. And I think sometime in the 90s, like, all that stopped, and everybody's kind of like, they put on the clothes, and they grew out their hair, and they knew what to say, and that's metal, and there you go. You know, like, there's nothing exciting about that at all, and there's so many bands that kind of fit those molds. And I kind of felt that, for me, I started to look at other things like industrial music or electronic music or, like, minimalist composition or whatever, that was just, like, trying to do something different that maybe felt ominous or intense. You know, I don't know, I kind of feel like that's, like, always, like, the spirit of what we're doing is, like, how can we move something forward, you know, that is exciting, that's interesting, that for us, I mean, you know, predominantly it's our own interest.
And how do you feel that, I mean, that you guys personally are pushing the boundary in, you know, in different aspects, in different genres, in different fronts?
Well, I think that it's like the combination of where, you know, where we're coming from and the things that we're trying to, like, link together, I guess, like the genres I've talked about. But also, just kind of, as we step back from a piece that we're working on, like, does that sound like something we've heard before? Is that kind of an easy resolution? Would it make sense for this beat to go a certain way? But what if we flip it? And what if, you know, we just try and challenge ourselves, like, that the boundaries aren't set by what perceived genre that we're in, but that we're going to try and do something that we would like to hear that's unexpected and that maybe could challenge a listener in some way.
And us.
And how obsessive are you guys with the little details that make this release?
I feel like we took a long time with this CD. We could have took a longer time, of course. I mean, you could have get really obsessive about it.
We weren't like Axl Rose or anything with a new Guns N' Roses. You know, like, but we, I mean, I mean, a lot of things just kind of fit together. It actually felt like really organic. Like when we started, you know, one of us to have an idea, and it really just was nice. We trusted each other, and it came down to a lot of mixing. Really, I think even to a while ago, like hours of mixing and just making decisions about how the song was going to progress and what was going to come in next.
And what do you think is the most appropriate medium to listen to this album? CD, MP3, vinyl? What would be your pick?
We all have different opinions about that.
Yeah. I just don't want people to experience this as a download and listen to it through their shitty computer speakers.
Exactly.
The thing that gives me the biggest pet peeve. And then also the other thing that has a pet peeve for us is that the sequence of the tracks is really, we thought a lot about what sequence we put the tracks in. So it's like annoying that, you know, people can just get those some MP3s and then it's going to go from like track 1 to track 6 to track 5 to extension to track, you know, whatever. Like it kind of ruins the narrative that we were trying to create with this album, I think. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think for this right now, CD is like the perfect medium to listen, but obviously when the LP comes out, I'm going to lean more towards that, even though it's not going to include disc 2. So, but, you know, the first disc is, like Andre said, you know, it's meant to be in this order, and just MP3, I really have no use for, you know. I'd rather listen to a CD or obviously LP. So
yeah, I think like the different mediums kind of bring about different listening habits. Like I'm a closer listener with vinyl, so I kind of prefer vinyl. Like I set aside time to listen to records, and CDs are kind of a lot of my background music or things I've uploaded to iTunes or on my iPod or something like that. So I guess I have on because I can't not listen to music, you know. But when I really want to pay attention, it's normally on vinyl. I kind of prefer that.
Cassette or 8-track?
Cassette, 8-track, some wax cylinders.
So you guys are...
If you have, like, releases, we put, like, on our records, we put locked grooves on them, we've done some loop tape, things like that that are meant to be interacted with in some sense. So I think, you know, whatever medium we put this out in, I guess other than MP3, how we prefer, I would think, because I like the CD, we put a lot of thought into who we would get to do the artwork for that. Keith, the label, put a lot of thought into the design.
The packaging,
you know, the packaging just looked, just got the final CDs, and, you know, I thought it looked amazing. Definitely stands out from any other CD in my collection. You know, like, I think the most important thing is it's like a physical object, and you know, that's supposed to...
touch and feel it.
And did you guys master specifically for vinyl, or did you use the same mastering for both the CD and the vinyl?
Oh, we haven't mastered it for vinyl yet, but I mean, basically, it's just going to have it's pretty much ready to be mastered to, you know, cut to vinyl, right?
Yeah, for the most part.
And if you guys had, like, you know, the ideal situation where people listen to music the way you guys want it, and you could make music the way you guys want it, what do you think that you could do, you know, to bring the whole spirit of the band together in one release?
I think we're kind of doing it now. I mean, I think that, you know, there's always a compromise, you know, like, between the live and the recorded object in some way. And, like, you kind of just have to negotiate between those things, and I think that we're in the middle of that with the CD that I think it sounds great, looks great. I couldn't ask for anything more, and I know that the record is, when it's ready, is going to be at the same caliber, too, when the vinyl is done. So I kind of feel like right now it's like, aligning perfectly for this release.
And I'm sorry. And what made you guys promote the album so early? Because whenever we got the promo, we saw all the way until November, we were like, oh, this is kind of weird.
Basically because I have a really, I'm Andre and I have most of the, you know, I send out most of the CDs.
He's our PR guy.
And basically I had the least busy schedule when I sent you this CD. And my schedule right now is really hectic, so I knew that there was no way that I was going to be able to send out promo CDs right around the same time as the CD was going to be out. So I figured better have it go out early than late.
And do you guys hang out around the internet obsessively, like you said, that you're pretty sure there's not a copy out there yet?
Have you put one out? I'm not positive, but I've been, we've got our computers set to search for it, and if anybody does put it up, then I'll politely ask them to remove it until at least a few months after the release date.
Yeah. So,
because the label and unfortunately we had to put in quite a bit of money to create this, you know, release that we're really proud of.
And how is the label working for you?
What's that?
Oh no, can you repeat the last name because you got all cut up?
Oh yeah, I was basically saying that you know, the label and we had to put in quite a bit of money into this release. So I guess, you know, if anybody posts it, we're gonna politely ask them to remove it until a little bit after the release, so that hopefully the label can make their money back, because you know, UTEC Records puts out a lot of interesting stuff and nice packaging, and you know, he deserves to make some money back. And but I mean, there's a whole argument about whether putting up free MP3s promotes or does not promote album sales. So I don't know if I want to get into that.
Yeah. And so
I prefer it not MP3 for, you know,
a little while.
For a little while.
And do you guys feel that the label then did a good job with it? And do you think it's perfectly targeted and everything with such a, you know, label that handles kind of similar releases?
Yeah, they're doing that. I mean, Pete is doing a great job, I think, and he knows exactly, like, kind of who needs to, you know, where it needs to go and all that. And I mean, but he's been working with a lot of bands that and musicians that we really respect, and even done records with him in the past, and he put out an 8-track for us in the past. So, you know, he kind of, you know, he's a friend and a really, you know, he runs a great label, bands like GOG and the Human Kino Orchestra and Horseback. You know, I mean, he's, you know, really done a great job.
Yeah.
And I mean,
definitely, I think we'll be hearing more about in the future too.
Yeah.
And in terms of the future plans of the band, where do you think that you want to take the sound of the band?
Further. I want to push it further. I want a choir. I want to use a choir. I don't know how. I want to use a choir.
Well, we have a couple records already. What? Yeah, delete that.
We're working on a lot of other, there's a collaborative recording we did with Horseback. We're really excited about that. Came out really nice. Yeah. There's an older things that have taken forever that hopefully will be done soon.
Yeah, just a couple.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think we just have a ton of ideas about where to take our next record. Our next, you know, studio album. So, I mean, we're all looking forward into teasing those ideas out.
And
definitely want to use more piano.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I think one interest of mine is that how on the Crystal World we kind of have like this onslaught of electronics in the beginning of this one, and then in the end we have this onslaught of acoustic instruments, and I really kind of like that kind of polar opposite effect, so I'm kind of interested in tweaking that out from some of our next recordings as well.
And in general direction, do you think that you guys are going to try to go a little bit more mellow or more, you know, heavier, I guess you could call it that way?
I don't know.
I think so, in order to evoke certain emotions, and I think it depends what kind of, you know, story we want to tell with our music or what kind of emotion we're going to try to evoke. So, you know, it could be full-on black metal. It could be very not.
Just depends. Yeah.
And
yeah.
it'll always be dark and kind of sad sounding, and you know, no matter what.
We see that you guys have a couple of shows, and are you planning on touring or somewhat touring after the release of the album?
We're discussing it. It's all in the works. We have a few shows lined up for the fall, kind of leading up to the release of the record here when I release it in Chicago, and then. And then I think we're taking a break pretty much till 2011, and from there, that's probably where we're going to be doing more kind of out of the Chicago area shows. But I don't know. We're still trying to figure out with our schedules how far out those shows will be.
Unless we get sweet offers.
Yeah. A nice festival would solve that dilemma real quick.
And do you guys think that, I mean, what do you guys think that this type of genres of music have more fans overseas than in North America? Have you experienced that, or you still don't really know where your audience is?
Well, I think we have a lot of, we have a lot of contact with people in Europe, I mean, all over. I mean, we've had... one of our releases was done by a split release with a French label put out one of our releases, and they split a release with a British label. So I know that we get a lot of emails from people in England, Italy,
Germany,
France, I think, Portugal. So, you know, I don't know. I think that the response has been pretty strong, so I definitely could have it make sense to work over there. It would just be, you know, getting three people and a bunch of gear.
Just the logistics.
Logistics is always like what kind of hinders things.
But I would be all for playing shows in Europe or, you know, anywhere really. Scandinavia, UK,
Asia,
and some place with good food.
And if you guys had like an unlimited budget for a live performance, what would you guys use it on to, you know, transfer the whole experience to people?
I would
puppet show.
I would try and have like a bunch of other bands that we really like be able to play, put together like a nice flowing event.
Yeah,
I think that would be really nice. Something we always try and do, but sometimes you get thwarted, you know, by geography and budget.
So you guys wouldn't need any special props or anything that you could think of? Besides the puppet?
I don't know. Maybe a lighting engineer?
Yeah.
That'd be kind of nice. Yeah.
So you guys...
A rotating stage.
Mr. Candles.
So you have an ambition, your music is more of a visual aspect, you just try to play what you try to communicate?
I think we have, there's always possibilities, like when we're going to do our release show, there's going to be, and I guess maybe we haven't mentioned this too much, is that we're going to be having a bunch of video artists do videos for tracks on the Crystal World or involving excerpts or parts of tracks from the Crystal World. So we're going to be showing... pretty excited about it. We're playing with Anatomy of Habit, who are good friends, great band, and Helen Money, who's like this amazing cellist, for our release show. But we're going to be introing the night with all these videos.
Like eight different videos from video artists from around the world. All different statures. Some of them are really good friends of ours. Some of them are fans. Some of them are just people that we've admired their work. And we contacted all of them, kind of sent them tracks, and they're coming in pretty at a good pace, so, and they're looking great. So I like that a lot. Being able to have this nice kind of intro to our set can be really cool. Very different for us. We've never really done that before, like having all these visual elements. But even when we play, we use a lot of like candles and fog machines and you know, kind of low light. So. I could see us upping the budget on our candle budget could increase.
Yeah, that would be nice. Candle operas. Yeah.
And are there like any remarks that you want to say to the people in North America and the world listening to this interview that are going to be buying the album, waiting for it until November 29th?
Thanks for checking us out. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. Huh?
Come see us play.
Buy the record.
I guess.
That's it.